نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، كل ضلالة في النار، وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance, and his forgiveness. I believe in him, and I trust him. And I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides into Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation. An addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Alhamdulillah, by Allah's leave, inshallah, we today about to continue our series concerning the explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram after this short break. And today, inshallah, which is Tuesday, the 22nd of September 1998, which is equivalent to the 2nd of Jamada al-Akhir, for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is our 26th class from the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam, the attainment of the objective according the evidence. And this by Sheikh الحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. So today inshallah this is our 26th class from this book. And today inshallah we have a beautiful subject which is concerning Salat al-Jama'ah. And for those inshallah who follow or they have the book Bulugh al-Maram, they may look to page number 142. And this is chapter number 10. Chapter number 10. And page 142. And the hadith that we're going to be starting with today, inshallah, is going to be hadith number 314. Before I start talking about the hadith and the explanation from Bulughul Maram, inshallah, first, what is Salat al-Jama'ah? As we understand, the word Salah is prayer, okay? And the Jama'ah, like collectively, something to do collectively or together in unity. And this what it translated in English as a prayer in congregation, okay, or prayer in together. And when we're talking about Salat al-Jama'ah, for sure we're talking about the Salat al-Jama'ah which is supposed to be taking place in the masjid, okay. We are not talking about Salat al-Jama'ah, although that still call Salat Jama'ah because that you get together, okay? Like if the husband and the wife and the children get together and they make Salah, this is Salat Jama'ah, okay? Or if the mother takes the kids and they pray together, still call Salat Jama'ah. But what we're talking about here tonight, or our subject concerning Salat al-Jama'ah, which is supposed to be taking place in the mosque, okay? This is the subject that we're supposed to be discussing tonight. The importance of this Salah in Jama'ah, praying together with the Imam, I can express it by reminding myself as well as my brothers with Salah, with verse in Surah An-Nisa. This verse is number 102, Surah An-Nisa, women, and this is verse number 102. That in this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even when he is in the battlefield, even if he is in the battlefield, وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ فَلْتَقُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَعَكَ. And if you are among them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Salah is established, let a group of them pray with you. Okay? So, alaykum salam. We can see in the time of difficulty, time of hardship, time of fighting the enemies of Allah, and still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoin on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well as the companions to make the Salah together. They're going to be breaking the army to two groups, okay? So one group will be watching, facing the enemy, one group following the prayer behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we really think about this verse by itself, our time, you understand, being living in our houses and going to our jobs and all these things, this is not a battle, or this is not a fighting with the kafirun. And we have it more, much easier than the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, okay? But still, in the time even of fighting the enemy, real fighting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging them or commanding them to make the Salat al-Jama'ah. So you can imagine how is our situation. We will see this also, the importance of Salat al-Jama'ah, from another hadith, which is going to be the second hadith for today, that was so important to such a degree that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to go and burn the houses of those people who don't come to the masjid. Okay, so this verse and this ahadith shows us how serious and how important for us to attend the mosque and to make the salah with the jama'ah. Because in actuality this deen, this religion is a deen of jama'ah. This deen is not a deen of individualism, okay? It's not a deen of everybody having his own idea and his own mosque and his own newspaper and his own newsletter and his own idea, his own philosophy. It's deen of doing things collectively and being together and being united. Because the moment that the Muslims start to be disunited and start to be everybody about his own business, okay, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that the wolf will attack the lonely sheep. The wolf attacks the lonely sheep because the sheep are weak, okay? This animal, the sheep, okay, the lambs are weak. But the strength, it comes because they get together. You see, although that the wolf is stronger than the sheep, but as the wolf will have the strength when he sees this sheep by itself, you see. But as long as the sheep is sticking together, now the wolf will keep a distance, you see. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants to protect the Muslims from the wolf, and the serious wolf that always watching for the Muslims, the shaitan. Okay, you have the shaitan, you have your desires, you have the temptation of the dunya, you have all these things. This is wolf, okay? This is the wolf for the Muslims, okay? And all these things waiting for the moment to grab you. It will grab you from Jum'ah, and after this grab you from the Salah, and after this grab you from the Masjid, and from activities, a little bit by little bit, and you find yourself now in your own, okay? And even if somebody tried to come to remind you or advise you, now you became your own sheikh and your own imam and ready to argue and ready to give fatwa, you see? Because this is the shaitan already has established authority over you, he snatched you already. So he already had wounded you enough to such a degree that you have the ability that you can argue with the Muslims, and you can even have whatever that you're ready to tell them. So the deen is deen of jama'ah. This religion of Islam is deen of jama'ah, deen of unity. In your salah, in your zakah, in everything, to be together as much as you can, okay? And the same thing is apply in the family, okay? So the whole thing you find it in Islam is deen of being, emphasize this unity and being together. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين. Do you see him who denies the day of judgment? Okay? He says, this is the one who treats the orphan harshly, and he doesn't encourage the feeding of the poor, okay? Because the deen is deen of jama'ah, deen of collective, doing things together, sticking together, being one body, being a community, being one masjid, being one, you see, the whole thing. So you found that the salah, which is something that repeated every day, five times a day, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to make it together. Okay? And it is very important that for the imam and for the members of the community to see each other, to strengthen each other, and also to be observing each other from the financial condition, from economic condition, to see each other. Because this is a meeting that will be repeated 5 times a day, that you can see who's missing, if he's sick, if he's hungry, if he's going astray, okay? Whatever it is happening. So the Salat al-Jama'ah is something very important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to this ummah, and it is very, very important, and we get in the benefit of being together and being getting the strength of being supported by each other, plus we get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find in hadith number 314 and page 142 عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال صلاة الجماعة أفضل من صلاة الفذ ب27 درجة. That the prayer, this hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima. So the hadith is sahih, is authentic, is the highest degree of authenticity. The hadith is reported by Abdullah, son of Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, telling us that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us about the prayer that being made with the jama'ah, with the group, the prayer being offered in congregation is 27 degree more rewarded than prayer offered by a single person. Okay? So this is the superiority of Salat al-Jama'ah, that you pray by yourself, you get in, okay, you get in 1 degree, you get in 1 reward. While you pray with the Jama'ah, you get in 27 degree, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best how much is this degree, okay? But you can imagine that you're getting a reward. It's going to be doubled to such degrees that will be more rewarded 27 times. Okay? And this is the reason you may find some disagreements among the scholars. Is the Salat al-Jama'ah must or optional? Is it sunnah or a wajib? Okay? Because from some ahadith, the scholars, as example like this hadith, is say, if it's better, that means the salah by yourself is still acceptable. Okay? Okay? While the others, they look to the other hadith, which comes after this, hadith number 315, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to go and burn the houses of those people who did not attend the jama'ah, they did not come to the masjid. They say, look how serious it is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to such a degree that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to burn the houses. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know how kind and how merciful he is, and for him to go to do about to do such a thing like this, it must be something very serious, okay? But the scholars, they did not have objection that the Salat al-Jama'ah been legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? And this is one of the most important thing can be done by the Muslims, okay? But the differences among the scholars, that three of the school of thoughts, okay, they see it to be sunnah mu'akkada. That means it's very strong recommended sunnah. Okay, that is not a must. While the school of Zahiriya, Ibn Hazm, they see it to be wajib, or they see it to be shart, that means it's a condition. That means if you did not make your salah in the jama'ah, the salah is not acceptable, okay? And also the Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayh, Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayh, he see it to be wajib on the individual, okay? Even if you are in the masjid, still that you need to make it in jama'ah, okay? In your office, on your school, wherever you are, that you still need to make jama'ah, that you could not make salah by yourself. And we can see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not even permit it, the blind man, okay, to pray in his house. So from this ahadith, that some of the scholar understood that the salah in jama'ah is a must, while others is understood to be a condition. That means if you did not make it, like somebody who is making salah without wudu, the salah will not going to be acceptable, okay? While some felt that is what sunnah mu'akkada, that is very strong recommended sunnah. And I say, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows best, that the salah is a fard for the neighbors of the masjid, the people who can hear the adhan, okay, the people who live in the surrounded area by the masjid, they have to go and make their salah. If they pray it in their house, the salah is still acceptable, okay? It's still acceptable, but they had breaking the rules which is supposed to be done in congregation. So, as I said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Salatul Jama'ah even in a matter of the war, and that we understand that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam always did it in jama'ah, as well as the Sahaba. And the Sahaba used to view the person who did not make it in jama'ah to be a hypocrite. And keep in mind that when we're talking about this, we're talking about men, okay? Because the Salah al-jama'ah is obligatory in jama'ah in the masjid for men, not for the women. The most rewarded prayer for the woman is what she pray in her house. Okay? Why? Because the more that a woman in privacy away from the men's eyes is more rewarded for her. And it's so strange that he found some Muslims coming from different countries, they born Muslim, raised Muslims, they did not come to the masjid. For what reason? Because this is the way how they understood Islam, that the best salah for the woman is where she pray in her house. But you will find these women basically in every shopping center. Every mall you will see these women. So strange. Okay? So that means they hide themselves, they stay away from the mosque and the house of Allah, and they expose themselves, and they've been in every place, especially the market, which is the party place for the shaitan. They did not understand the purpose behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that the most rewarded salah for you, the salah that you make it in your house, does not mean that you hide yourself from the masjid and after this you expose yourself everywhere else. This completely is a wrong understanding. And another version, also in Bukhari and Muslim, which reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, بخمسين وعشرين جزءا. That mean the prayer in Jama'ah will be more rewarded 25 times. Okay? Some people, they may understand or think that this contradiction between the two hadith, and the hadith is authentic also, okay? The one say 27, one say 25. But we understand, okay, that possibility that the first one came after the second one. What this mean in revelation statement? Because that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you more mercy, more reward. So the reward was in the beginning, that when you make it in Jama'ah, you get 25 degree. Okay? So later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward and bless more the Muslim community by making 27 degree. This is one way to understand the hadith, okay? The two hadith. And some scholars also explain this to be that the salah will be rewarded according different other measurements, okay? As example, how far you are from the masjid. Because the person who walk a far distance, he will be more rewarded than a person who next door of the masjid, okay? This is one way to understand the hadith, okay? So the person coming from a distance, he will be more rewarded than a person who living next door. This one thing. Also, the number of the worshippers that involved in the Jama'ah prayer, okay? Because in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us that the salah of the two is more rewarded than the salah of one, and the salah of three is more rewarded than salah of two, and what is more reward. Okay, so the more jama'ah, okay, the more number of the musallin, the worshippers, okay, that the more reward. It also can be understood that how much the imam will recite in the salah, how much you are humiliation, humble in your prayer. So all these things will make a difference between how much reward you getting. The next hadith, which is hadith number 315, page 142, reported by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, والذي نفسي بيده لقد هممت أن آمر بحطب فيحتطب ثم آمر بالصلاة فيؤذن لها ثم آمر رجلا فيؤم الناس ثم أخالف إلى رجال لا يشهدون الصلاة فأحرق عليهم بيوتهم والذي نفسي بيده لو يعلم أحدهم أنه يجد عرقا سمينا أو مرماتين حسنتين لشهد العشاء. متفق عليه واللفظ للبخاري. This hadith reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, Ameen. And in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim. And this version that I just read is the version of Imam al-Bukhari, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swearing by Allah, saying, I swear by the one who hold my soul in his hand, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who holding our souls in his hand. He can release it or take it to him at any moment. So this also shows humbleness and the submission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by acknowledging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be his Lord, his God. He's the one who's holding his soul in his hand. Okay? I swear by the one who's holding what? Holding my soul in his hand. I was about to order, to give order to members of the community. They collect wood, okay? And after this, I will order the Salah to be called, to be established. And after this, I will appoint somebody to lead the Salah. And for me, I will go to those people who did not attend the Jama'ah prayer. Those people who did not come to the Masjid. See, busy sitting in their houses, talking, chatting, reading newspaper, watching TV, sleeping, being lazy, doing nothing. Okay? And I will go to those people who did not attend the Jama'ah. And I burn their houses. Okay. You can turn it down from here. No, you can turn it down a little bit from here if you want. And he will go to those people who did not attend the Jama'ah, the congregation prayer, and will burn their houses. Okay? He will burn their houses as a punishment for them not attending the Jama'ah prayer. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that لو يعلم أحدهم, some of those people who did not come for the Jama'ah prayer, they did not come to the mosque, they did not come to this reward or 27 degree different from praying by itself. Some of those people, if they knew that there is a dinner in the masjid, not even a dinner, a soup, a piece of bone, okay, or a little bit of meat that comes between the two nails of a goat, that means almost nothing, okay, that means something of this material thing, like dollars, dimes, nickels, okay, something so small, but because material thing, okay, something tangible or something touchy that you can touch it with your hand, they will be coming to the masjid. That means they did not show up for the reward. But if something from this worldly thing, even if it's small, they will show up. They have no problem to come. They are not sick. They are not tired. They are not anything. But they don't care about this blessings, you see. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will say that these people, for a small worldly thing, they will show up. They will show up, okay? But if we can think about the reward of 27 degree different and more rewarded than you pay by yourself, it's not like a big thing, okay? Yeah, next day, I'll go next week, okay? I'll go for Aisha, is enough, I'll go for Aisha, okay? Okay. وعنه رضي الله تعالى عنه, do something about this. وعنه رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أثقل الصلاة على المنافقين صلاة العشاء وصلاة الفجر، ولو يعلمون ما فيهما لأتوهما ولو حبوا. متفق عليه. حديث reported by أبو هريرة، مي الله ببليز وزيم. حديث نمبر 316 page 143. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم showing one of the signs of the hypocrite. Those people that they have nifaq, they have hypocrisy, they have illness and sickness in their hearts. One of their signs that they feel the most heavy, the most burden, the most trouble, prayer for them is Salat al-Isha and Salat al-Fajr, the last prayer and the first early morning prayer. We're talking about the nifaq. There is nifaq amali and there is nifaq i'tiqadi. Okay, there is hypocrisy in the belief and there is hypocrisy in the action. You know that hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that alamatul munafiq thalath, and in another hadith arba, the sign of the hypocrite are three, and in another hadith he says that they are four: إذا حدث كذب وإذا عاهد غدر وإذا أتمن خان وإذا خاصم فجر، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. The meaning of the hadith that the sign of the hypocrite are three, and in another narration are four. One of them is when he speaks he tells lies. When he promises he doesn't keep his promise. This kind of hypocrisy called nifaq amali is in action. Because the nifaq in al-i'tiqad, hypocrisy in the belief, it has no place in Islam. The person can be a Muslim and munafiq at the same time, but munafiq in his action, not in his belief. Okay? That means there is a Muslim who tell lies. He's still a Muslim, okay? But he's committing sin and he has a sign of hypocrisy. Okay? And he have to treat himself against this sickness. Because if he get this four signs together, he will be a pure hypocrite. وَالْعَيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. We seek Allah's protection against this, okay? So here when Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that أثقل الصلاة, the most burdensome prayer for the hypocrites are the Isha and the Fajr, he's talking about what? He's talking about the hypocrisy in action, not hypocrisy in the belief. Inshallah we're going to have to stop because it's time for Maghrib, and we continue after Salat al-Maghrib inshallah. And we have to find a way to change the class, the time for the class inshallah. So inshallah we continue after Salah Mujahid. Let's say 20 minutes from now. Excuse me, 7:33 now. Okay, let's see. Alright. Let's see. 25 minutes. 25 minutes sharp from now, okay? Assalamu alaikum.
أي عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل أعمى فقال: يا رسول الله، إنه أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل أعمى فقال: يا رسول الله، إنه ليس لي قائد يقودني إلى المسجد، فرخص لي. فلما ولى فرخص له، فلما ولى دعاه فقال: هل تسمع النداء بالصلاة؟ قال: نعم. قال: فأجب. رواه مسلم. Again, حديث نمبر 317. وعنه قال: أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل أعمى فقال: يا رسول الله، إنه ليس لي قائد يقودني إلى المسجد، فرخص له. فلما ولى دعاه فقال: هل تسمع النداء بالصلاة؟ قال: نعم. قال: فأجب. رواه مسلم. The hadith is reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, and in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayh. So the hadith is authentic. And this man who is blind, that means he could not see, which is Abdullah ibn Maktum, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to permit him and to give him excuse to pray in his house due to the condition that he is blind, that he could not see, and the second condition that he does not have a person that may lead him or assist him to take him to the masjid. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave him excuse, he gave him the permission. And when he left, about to leave and depart from the masjid, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called him back. He asked him, هل تسمع النداء بالصلاة? Do you hear the call for the prayer? He said, نعم, yes. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so he answered the call for the prayer. Now, we don't want you understand to go in all these details about school, such and such said is Sunnah Mu'akkada, and the school so and so said that is a must, and the school so and so said, you understand, is a condition. And now observe this hadith, look to this hadith by itself, okay, and now compare this to your condition. This is a blind man. And alhamdulillah, Allah bless us with vision. Allah bless us with cars. Name it. With the blessings that we have compared to those Sahaba, may Allah bless with them, okay? And due to the fact that this man has all these reasons, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him, if he hears the nida, if you hear the call to the prayer, you have no excuse, you have to come, even if he's blind, even if you have no a person to lead him to the mosque. And also from this hadith we understand that the obligation in jama'ah, it falls upon the people who hear the adhan, okay, the people who live in the premises or in the surrounded area of the masjid, the people who can hear the muadzin, okay, if the muadzin goes in the roof of the mosque and he calls the adhan with his voice without a loud speaker. So if this can go half mile, 1 mile distant, so those people who live in this area, they have to answer the call for the prayer. They have no excuse, they have to come. Okay? Those people who live beyond this destination, okay? Like somebody, as example, live in what you call Rosewood area or St. Andrews area, all these things, they are not going to hear the adhan. So those people now is up to them to come or no. But we should always be concerned and thinking about the reward that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told us about the Salat al-Jama'ah is more rewarded than the singular prayer praying by yourself 27 times. Even if the Salah is not obligatory in you, Salat al-Jama'ah, being in congregation prayer, you still should be concerned about getting this reward. And always remember this blind man, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give him excuse to pray by himself in his house. Hadith number 318, page 143, from book Bulugh al-Maram. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من سمع النداء فلم يأتي فلا صلاة له إلا من عذر. رواه ابن ماجه والدارقطني وابن حبان والحاكم، وإسناده على شرط مسلم، لكن رجح بعضهم وقفه. This hadith reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith in the collection of Ibn Majah, Imam al-Bayhaqi, and Musnad al-Hakim, and is not in the book of al-Bukhari or Muslim, but it is according the condition of al-Bukhari and Muslim. So the hadith is authentic. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us in this hadith that whosoever hears the adhan, okay, whosoever hears the adhan, he hear it with his own ear, without a loud speaker, okay, that he in the premises or in the what you call in, vicinity of hearing the natural voice of the muadzin, okay, if he hear it, and he did not come, that no salah except, no salah for him except what? If he have excuse. Okay? If he have excuse. Like sickness as example, or fear, okay? That he could not walk to the mosque due to his illness, or that there is wild animals comes at night and he fear for his life, or that there is around the corner some people understand that at night they do all these bad things and maybe they kill him or snatch his wallet or whatever it is. So this is excuse for him. Hadith number 319, page 144, وعن يزيد ابن الأسود رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه صلى مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الصبح، فلما صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا هو برجلين لم يصليا فدعا بهما جيء بهما ترعد فرائصهما، فقال لهما: ما منعكما ان تصليا معنا؟ قال قد صلينا في رحالنا. قال فلا تفعلا، اذا صليتما في رحالكما ثم ادركتما الامام ولم يصلي فصليا معه فانها لكما نافلة. This hadith reported by Yazid ibn al-Aswad, and this hadith is a collection of Imam ibn Hibban as well as at-Tirmidhi. And also in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Nisa'i. And the hadith is authentic. And the hadith is telling us about the story that Yazid ibn al-Aswad said that he performed the prayer with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the morning prayer. And after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finished the salah, he spotted or he saw two men which they did not perform the prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered for them to be brought to him. So the Sahaba, some of the Sahaba went and brought them forward before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while they were shaking, they were scared. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam questioned them, why you didn't perform a prayer with us? They said, O Prophet of Allah, we had pray in our homes. The Prophet said, don't do so. Don't do so. If it happens that you pray in your houses, and after this you come to the mosque, and you found the imam making the prayer, so pray with the imam. It will be optional. It will be recorded for you as what? As a optional prayer. You must pray with the imam. And it will be an a voluntarily prayer for you. That means that a person, even if he performs a prayer, and this prayer considered obligatory prayer, that he's not supposed to be sitting in the mosque while the imam performing the prayer, because this shows disunity, okay? And it may be encourage people that everybody will be making salah in his own, or wait for the imam to finish and after this making his salah.